Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 76 of The Car Wash. On today's show, Hunt and Chiefs have parted ways. Pitso's wife is being sued and what's next for Nteki. Whether you're tuning in on slpodcast.co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am your host, Aiden, and of course, I am not alone. I am joined by former Bafana Bafana Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns star. It's Teko Modise. How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Yes, I'm fantastic. Thank you. And I am also joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts.
Why am I introduced second here? I'm confused. I'm usually first. I'm very upset.
No, I know. I thought I'd change it up a bit because from there, you're going to stay.
Stop being a baby, Sean. Stop being a baby, dude. What's wrong with you? Stop being a baby. Sean Roberts.
I want to speak to management.
But from there, we jump into joke of the day. And Sean, I just want to say something very quickly. Last week, your joke was an improvement of the week before. I need to let you know that. So can you please continue this trend?
Sure. Here we go. What do you call a man with a rubber toe? Roberto.
Sean, you suck. You suck.
Funny, I can't help it.
You know, is it weird? Is it weird that I find that fitting for a footballing podcast?
It's not weird.
Roberto Carlos.
It's not weird. Roberto Carlos. I like that. Well done, Aiden.
I don't know. As soon as you said the punchline, like, hey, I know this guy. Oh goodness! But up next, we have pole position. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans a question on Facebook or a message on our WhatsApp supporters club group. And this past week, we saw the news that Gavin Hunt's contract had been terminated with immediate effect. So we asked our supporters, how will Chiefs manage in the CAF semi-finals with this news on their minds? And here's what you all had to say.
I don't think the firing of the coach will have any impact on the team because the team has been playing badly the whole season, even on the CAF Champions League. I don't even know how we get there to the semi-final. I don't even know. So I don't think it's going to have any impact.
I think my suggestion is Kaizer Chiefs need only to get the experienced coach who once got exposure in this event of Africa.
Honestly speaking, I don't think we're going to miss the old man. Playing CAF is like playing in a derby. Players don't need any motivation. It's a self-motivated game, so I don't think we'll struggle. And good luck to the boys.
Now we have to forget about Gavin Hunt and move on. We can't just always talk about Gavin Hunt, because he's not our coach now. So Atazwani, Dallon Shepard, those are the ones that we have to talk about now.
Yeah, I think it's very bad that Gavin Hunt has left Chiefs and the man who took them to semi-final. I think it's going to be hard, but I hope and believe that those two assistant coaches will bring another tactics.
I don't think we're going to struggle with games again.
To be in the semi-final on its own, it's a motivation. So especially with this away game, we need to show character.
Okay, so guys, you know, obviously with everything, there's two sides of the story. Chiefs haven't had the best season domestically. In fact, it's actually been quite the opposite. This is their worst season ever regarding their points tag. But on the flip side, continentally, they seem to be doing fairly well in CAF, you know, reaching the semi-finals and whatnot. Hunt was unable to sign players because of the transfer ban, so he had a whole mountain of to get over. Was this fair or unfair from Chiefs? Was he hard done by?
Aiden, life's not fair. Was I surprised? I was surprised for sure. But I think it's just a message now in terms of... it's such a tough one to answer. Look, he's done well and he hasn't done well. He's been unfortunate. He's been unlucky. but this is football. I was super surprised. But I think the next coach that they're going to bring in, and I think we all know who that might be, I think there's going to be a bit of vision there. I'm not saying there wasn't vision under Gavin, but I think this coach is going to be given time. I think this coach is going to have a sort of open checkbook, if you like, to build a team around certain players. But I was pretty shocked and pretty disappointed, because I think we would have seen a different Chiefs size, different Chiefs side under Gavin Hunt with an open checkbook. I really do. I think he was pretty limited as to what resources. And we have spoken to the fact that this is the same squad that came second last season. So it's such a weird one. And I was totally, totally shocked. Look, he's left with a nice paycheck, which is a good for him and obviously well-deserved. But, you know, where does that leave Dylan Shepherd? Where does that leave Arthur Zwane as well? Yeah, I'd be very interested to hear Teko's opinion, but I was shocked. But in the big scheme of things, you're not surprised, right? Because it's Kaizer Chiefs. It's one of the biggest teams in Africa. You speak Kaizer Chiefs all around the world, they know who it is. So I'm not surprised, but shocked in the same interim, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Teko, what is your opinion on this whole thing?
Gentlemen, in my opinion, I'm sorry. I just wanted to sound smart. I wasn't surprised or shocked at all. It's just the timing for me. That's the one that actually, you know, was a little bit of, you know. But because you look at the results and you look at the body language of the players, you also look at what they've been going through season after season. And also, even when you read interviews, there's always those, you know, stuff that are, you know, said there. But if you don't read carefully or if you don't listen carefully, you won't be able to catch those.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the game as well against the Black Leopards. Immediately Black Leopards scored, they didn't show the coach, they showed Bobby. From the cameras.
Oh.
You know, they showed his reaction, they showed those type of things. So you start reading in between the lines, and with that said, you look at all the players that are supposed to be playing very well. Why not they playing very well? You're trying to find the reason also, and then you're also trying to look at the next season as well, the demands of, here's the coach that wants to start his own team.
Mm.
What happens if he doesn't succeed with his own team? What are you going to do with those players? Are you willing to risk that as
a Take a second. Do you think if Chiefs beat the Leopards, he would still be there?
I think things would have been better. Probably maybe they would have left. They would have let things, you know, slide until the end of the season. Mm. The reason is because now you lost against KZ Chiefs, and now they're coming in and employing somebody that is Mtseki that you need to report to.
Mm.
So now you, Gavin Hunt, you've won everything in the league. Yeah, you've been one of the most dominant coaches in the league for the last 15 years. Mm. And then here comes Mtseki, who, in inverted commas, was been in Bafana, who failed as Bafana coach, now comes into the Kaizer Chiefs fold and be in charge of the development structure, the technical aspect of the game, and you report to him.
Mm.
So that on its own as well, you know. So it, and also, but the thing is, for me is I don't, with Gavin Hunt being gone, yes, he is a good coach. He's been winning trophies everywhere he goes, and he's been changing teams and be able to play the way he wants that. Hence, he's able to win those trophies. But what I'm saying is, Chiefs have done what they've done with the decision now. It was very direct, and they aside that actually shows exactly what they want to do, right?
Mm.
Come end of the season, there's players that needs to be offloaded. Let them react that way. Let them act that way.
Mm.
You know, because to find change and to make changes, you need to make those tough decisions. And it would be very interesting to see if Kaizer Chiefs can make those tough decisions. Because also, the thing is, whoever coach that they trying to have within the next few weeks, he needs to know exactly what's happening within the team. Which players have been signed already from last season? Which players are coming in? Which players have been looked at? Which players needs to stay? So there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen within Kaizer Chiefs for, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think Chiefs could go the same route as Sundowns with regards to like a coaching duo with Shepherd and Arthur?
Look, with Dylan Shepherd and Arthur, it's a beautiful and great investment from the team. You wouldn't want to put them in that position when the team is not doing this well and the expectations are that high. You don't want to throw them under the bus, because also you want to have somebody with more experience, you know, that also the coaches can learn under. Because Arthur still wants to learn, and Dylan Shepherd also still wants to learn. And look, man, coaching takes patience, and especially coaching such big teams. If you want to be there and last longer and be, you know, successful, you need to learn as much as you can.
For sure.
You know, and with all those two coaches,
yeah, there's gradual steps, right?
Yeah, yeah. And these coaches that are still young, you want somebody else to come in with a different philosophy to come in and introduce that to the team, and then they learn different philosophy. Because you must understand, Dylan Shepherd only as a coach worked under Gavin Hunt, nobody else. He has never worked under any other coach. So he needs to work with different coaches and get, you know, those different style of playing philosophies and be able to implement them in his own way whenever he's been given a chance to coach. But it's beautiful to see ex-footballers actually on the bench. It's beautiful to see.
It should happen at most clubs, but it doesn't, unfortunately. But yeah, anyway, I mean... Yeah, it's... I think Gavin leaving is... it'll be interesting to see what happens with Gavin now. Where do you go from here, Teko? If you're Gavin, what's the next on your list?
Look, I don't think Gavin will just chill and take a break. I don't think he's that type of a coach. If he was, he would have taken the Bafana job long time ago.
Yeah.
I think he'll find a team. I think what's next for him is to get a new exciting project for him.
Mm.
You know, what is exciting project? You're Stellenbosch, your Super Sport, where the chances are there might be new owners. It's at Stellenbosch, the chances are they might need somebody new with new ideas. And you look at both teams, they kind of have the players that he can use, or just probably maybe add a few into his style of play and how he wants to do things. And these are the teams as well that can give him that space and freedom, because they do have that type of a patience. You know, and I think that's the space that he's going to be in, because I don't think Gavin Hunt will stay 2 months without finding a job.
Mm.
I mean, he's too much of a higher quality not to be employed by anybody.
I agree. And then obviously all this news about a return for Stuart Baxter, potentially heading back to Chiefs. You know, when you sort of hear it, you think it's the obvious choice. He's well respected within the game. He's obviously been at Chiefs. He's won trophies. He's for me, he's one of the better man managers around in the game, especially with the local players, because that's a very difficult job. I mean, you can be a good coach, but you need to manage these guys. And I think he's one of the better ones. And it shows that in terms of how the players respect him. And I think that's also a tough one in the PSL, is getting the players respect. He is the obvious choice on my books. There has been reports in various media that this is the case. Teko, do you think this is the right choice for Chiefs going forward? Do you think it is Stuart Baxter, or do you think they're looking elsewhere?
You know, Sean, even if they are looking elsewhere, who's out there?
Yeah.
Because what you do as a big team like Kaizer Chiefs is, before you let go of your current coach, you must have already secured the next coach who's coming through.
Yeah.
What type of philosophy he has, what he brings into the team. And I think the biggest mistake now, if you look at Kaizer Chiefs for the last 2.5 seasons, are they're chasing a coach, and then they search around because they're desperate to get somebody else to come in and replace.
Mm.
They haven't sat down and actually look at the coach, or like, coach, we need this coach for the next coming 3 years. And will he fit into the system? Will he fit into the culture? Will he fit his philosophy? Will the players that we have adapt to it? Does he have enough personality to be able to command respect in this team?
Mm.
Those type of things. Because you look at all the big teams in the whole world. You don't chase a coach not having secured the next one.
Yeah.
Because that's why you see in most cases that a coach leave today, 2 days later, and then there's a new coach that has been employed. And I think Kaizer Chiefs in this stage.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I think Kaizer Chiefs in this stage, they're trying to have, yes, with Stuart Baxter, it will be the perfect choice. But also, it feels like they're trying to reheat the French fries. You know? Because because Stuart Baxter did well a couple of years ago. They had the players for that. They had Mashamai, they had Morgan Gould, they had the players to play that type of system. They had Rene Lelselanyane, they had Shaba, they had all these type of players. Now, Stuart Baxter now needs to adapt to the players that he has. And also, KZ Chiefs need to be able to understand that if Stuart needs players to bring into the team, they need to allow him to do so. And this is the same coach also a couple of years ago when he was still at Chiefs, he told the team that we need to start putting in new players. We need to start changing the team because you look at the age group that we have. This team is not going to last longer. Then they let go of him. Now they bring him back with something that they could have changed because he saw that as a coach years ago. So for me, it's the same thing. It's like going to McDonald's, buying that meal. You sleep and then the next day you realize that, oh, I didn't eat the French fries. Let me reheat them. Probably the old man might be nice. They're not going to be nice.
And it'll be interesting to see because it'll be father and son at Chiefs, won't it? Obviously with Lee Baxter being the goalkeeper coach and then Stuart potentially coming back. I mean, I can't remember ever seeing that, to be honest. I don't know if you can remember, Teko, a father and son being part of a first team coaching role.
It's very rare. It's very rare to see that happening. You know, but with what the situation is right now with the team, I think you also trying to feel sorry for them. You feel for them because of you, because Sean, we've been players before. You understand the pain that they're going through, and the easiest thing to do right now is to try and see who can come in and help this pain go away. We don't want to experiment anymore. We want somebody that can come in that knows the team and make the pain go away. And now there is the person that can actually do that. It's only one, Stuart Baxter, because Stuart Baxter, number one, the media loves him. He speaks very well. He's got an accent. You know, he wears a nice suit. He's good with the players. So there's a lot of, things. Yeah. There's a lot of things that people like about Stuart Baxter. And you look at other coaches that are very good in tactically. They don't have the charisma. They don't have the character. Now, the fans, they don't like them because they're not, you know, they're not outspoken. They don't speak well in the media. But, they get all this. So now it's also with KZ Chiefs as well. It's very tricky as to also you need to be liked as a coach. You need to have a certain charisma. You need to have a certain personality. There's a lot of things and not many coaches have those whenever they're coaching Chiefs. And Stuart Baxter happens to be the one that has most of them.
Interesting times ahead.
Very interesting times ahead indeed, Sean. And from there, we jump into the international news desk with Sokola Duma international news correspondent Kurt Buckerfield. This was recorded in post. We spoke about the UCL final, Zidane out, Ancelotti in, and Barcelona's transfer news. Have a listen. I am joined now by Sokola Duma's international news correspondent, Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing today, Kurt?
Good, Aiden. How are you, man?
Yes, I'm all right. Thank you. I'm surviving this cold front, my side of the world. However, let's jump straight into this. Chelsea emerged victorious in last weekend's UEFA Champions League final. Kai Havertz did score the only goal there. What were your thoughts on that game there, Kurt? A lot of people have started trash-talking Pep on the internet, saying he didn't deserve to win and he wasn't mentally there. I saw a stat that was their 60th game of the season, that final. But for the 59 other games, they either started Fernandinho or Rodri. And in the final, they didn't. Also, N'Golo Kante. I mean, come on. How can you not love the man? Winning four exactly. Man of the Match awards in a row, inclusive of the final. What was your thoughts over there all around?
So I was looking very, very forward to that game and it didn't fail to deliver. I think it was a great spectacle. I think the game was super entertaining. But I must say there was this weird feeling that came over me. And I think maybe I'm not a Manchester City supporter, but I think most Manchester City fans, including the one Manchester City fan, former player, Jurrien Lescott, who was in studio, before the game. And there was this weird feeling when the starting lineup came out, because obviously, as you just mentioned, neither Rodri nor Fernandinho was in the starting 11. And I think, you know, Pep Guardiola has this reputation of tinkering in big moments and big matches. And often it just doesn't come off. he's essentially accused of overthinking these things when maybe he should go with these tried and tested, go with the team that you know, your strongest 11 over the course of the season. Fernandinho is obviously a captain, is made for big matches. Rodri is a phenomenal deep line playmaker, anchorman. He's quite a physical presence. He's big, he's tall, he's good in the air. So I just felt like it was really strange to go and start with the short Ilkay Gundogan, who has been so imperative to the way City have gone forward this season, the way City have attacked. Gundogan, I think, scored 17 goals. So not only are you now taking Fernandinho or Rodri out the team and what they can bring to that role, but you're also taking away Gundogan, what he can achieve and what he can contribute going forward. So I just felt like it was a very, very strange call. And as soon as that lineup came out, there was this feeling around the footballing world that Pep has gone and done it again. He's overthought this one and it's not going to pay off. It was very strange. Pep Guardiola said after the game that he fielded the team that he believed was the strongest and he believed would give them the best chance of winning. But it didn't pay off. City looked overrun in midfield, you know, 5 minutes into the game. Mm. I mean, it was pretty clear that they were missing a real presence in there. And if only they had, you know, two of the best holding midfielders on their bench, that would have been great. So it was a strange one, very strange call, but Chelsea fully deserved it. I thought that they were on the front foot from the first moment of that match. Kante was incredible, just such a smart, intelligent, you know, savvy player who reads a game so well. And I couldn't be happier for him in particular. I don't have any real feelings for Chelsea. Yeah. But for Kante, I think, you know.
Oh, he's just great.
The world just wants to see a guy like that win. He's just a phenomenal player, so humble. He's just, you know, he's just adored all over. And I thought he was excellent. I thought it was a great match. And Chelsea, you know, deserved the win, absolutely.
I mean, if anyone has any bad feelings towards Kante, something's not right with them.
Exactly. He's literally the guy with zero haters. It's like a meme that goes around football, like players with zero haters. And I think Kante is really the only guy in football that every single football fan loves.
And I saw another interesting fact about that game. Kante, his height measures in at a staggering 5'5". You know, he's not the biggest person in the world, but yet he won the most aerial duels in that game. I think he won 11.
That's
Come
just
on.
Crazy.
Come yeah. on. Like,
wow, absolutely wild. Wow.
From there, we're going to kind of stick with the UEFA Champions League in a sense of we're going to move to a team that hasn't won the Champions League for 3 years, Real Madrid. You know, the hierarchy have said Zinedine must get off Zidane's floor. He's out. And it has now officially been confirmed that Carlo Ancelotti will now take over. He was last at Real Madrid, I think it was 6 years ago.
Yes, 2015.
Yes, 2013 to 2015 was his latest spell there. Do you think this is the right move for him personally, as well as the club, considering their form that's gone down? But overall, is this the right move?
I think that for him, you know, when you're managing Everton and have just finished 10th in the Premier League, I think that when an opportunity like this comes around, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
So I think for Ancelotti, yes, of course, it's the right move. But for Real Madrid, it's a strange one. I think, you know, Florentino Perez, the president who was very much and still very much is the face of the European Super League. You know, he's not letting that dream die. He kicked up a huge fuss over young people losing interest in sports and in football and has now gone and hired a 61-year-old who just finished, 10th in the Premier League. And I just find it a little boring, if I'm honest with you. That's my personal opinion. I find the appointment quite boring. Obviously, Ancelotti has, you know, achieved incredible success as a player, as a manager, but it just feels like a backwards move. Real Madrid are in desperate need of a bit of a revamp.
Yeah.
It's an aging squad, so there will need to be a focus on younger players, the younger guys who are coming through. And there are a few very talented younger guys coming through. And I'm just not sure Ancelotti is the man who should be entrusted with that. I think that it's just a strange appointment. For me, personally, I don't find it interesting. I don't find it entertaining. I think that all the best managers right now are the younger guys with this fresh approach to football, new kind of philosophies of attacking possession football. And I just think Ancelotti being reappointed is a weird one, Aiden. But having said that, he has dropped, you know, a hint or two that there are a number of players in that side he still likes and still admires. Gareth Bale being one of them.
He's still on loan at Tottenham. Do you think he'll be brought back?
So he returns at the end of this season. So he will be a Real Madrid player. Whether he stays at the club or not, of course, that's a different conversation. But he will technically be a Real Madrid player. From, I think, next month again. And then Isco, who's fallen out of favor in recent seasons. I think he mentioned Marcelo. Sergio Ramos is, of course, close to leaving Real Madrid, hasn't signed a new deal. His deal expires now at the end of this month. So he could just walk away for free. But Ancelotti has said that he still, you know, admires Ramos and he can't imagine Real Madrid without Ramos. So I'm sure conversations will be had. So look, he could get all of those older guys on his side again and, you could make it work, but I just feel like it will be a short-term thing. I think Ancelotti won't be at Real Madrid for too long. And in that sense, I just find it weird because surely you'd want someone who can maybe bring a bit of stability, the kind of stability that Zidane brought to Real Madrid, and that sustained success. I mean, 11 trophies in two spells, and I think his two spells only 5 years altogether. So he was just brilliant, and I feel like I just don't know how Ancelotti is going to step into that position and take Real Madrid forward. I personally just don't see that happening. That's my prediction.
It sounds like Teko Modise's mindset of long-term plans can also apply to Real Madrid here. However, let's stay in Spain and head over to Real Madrid's Catalan rivals, Barcelona. They have been pretty busy in the transfer window already. They've signed Eric Garcia as well as Sergio Aguero. I think they're about to sign Donnarumma as well. I don't know if that's been confirmed. I just want to talk about the Sergio Aguero signing. You know, Barcelona let go of Luis Suarez saying, oh no, he's too old at 33. I mean, well, Suarez just did the biggest won the La Liga with Atletico Madrid, and now they've signed Aguero, who's about to turn 34.
Yeah, so Aiden, for me, look, I think it's of course ironic that Barcelona got rid of Suarez seemingly because of his age and have replaced him with somebody who has literally just turned 33. But I do think that there was more to it than that. You know, Suarez was on huge wages, and because of the economic strain that Barcelona is currently under due to the coronavirus pandemic and due to really an incompetent former board, I think what, you know, the most important thing about this deal with Sergio Aguero is that he has accepted a massive, massive pay cut. So yes, he might be, you know, around the same age as Suarez, and he might also have fitness issues that Suarez had too, but he is going to be earning a lot less, you know, and I think that is probably the angle that Barcelona will take. I think that financial aspect of this deal is what is most significant. But of course, there is irony in replacing an aging Suarez with an aging Aguero. And of course, you know, hindsight, we can look at it now and laugh because Suarez has just won La Liga with Atletico Madrid. Yeah. And actually scored the goal that won them
the league.
And I think it was 21 league goals, in total. So, I mean, he had a great season. But yeah, we'll see. I think that Aguero is maybe still has more to offer. I think that this last season now he did have injury issues. He also, you know, had coronavirus. So he was quite unfortunate. And when he did return to full fitness, you know, he just was on the bench. Pep Guardiola wasn't playing with a striker. Not even Gabriel Jesus was playing. So I don't think that you can put all the blame on Aguero and say that, well, he just didn't show up for City this season. I think that he was fit and just sat on the bench for a lot of the campaign.
Yeah.
And maybe Pep thought that he couldn't offer as much as he was offering the team in previous seasons. But, you know, I'm excited to see the deal go through. I'm excited to see what happens. Him and Messi are great friends. They've been roommates in the Argentina national team for many, many years. I think since they were 18 years old. So I'm excited to see what happens. But yeah.
Well, if there's one thing I can comment on that is I am really, really excited to see Aguero and Messi playing together at club level. I feel they'll, I don't know, play a little bit better together at a club than they would at the international stage, just because of the team that they have behind them in comparison.
Yeah, for sure.
I think so. Something I'm really looking forward to. But that was the international news desk with Soccer Duma's international correspondent, Kurt Buckerfield. Thank you so much and have a great day further.
Cheers, Aiden. Thanks, man.
Okay, guys, let's react to a few games here. AmaZulu vs Swallows.
Great result for AmaZulu. Obviously cemented their second spot, which is unfathomable 6 months ago, Teko. I mean, it's just ridiculous what Benny and his crew have done there, and super, super happy for them. And I wouldn't say convincing win, but another clean sheet. And again, these little 1-0 wins. It was 1-0, I think. Yeah, 1-0 wins was these are the big games towards the end of the season. You could see the energy on the bench afterwards. I mean, it's like they won the league, and it's very rare to see it in PSL teams this season. So I'm excited to see what happens to them next season, to be honest.
Yeah, man. History made.
Crazy.
These are the guys that are going to CAF, you know, guaranteed. And look, Sean, to be honest with you, I'm happy for AmaZulu. I never saw this coming. Mm. I'm happy for Coach Benny, for Coach Vasil, Munip, and Beren Omvete. Mm. If one would have asked me last season that, do you think Beren Omvete, Munip, and Vasil and Bela, would it work? I'd say no. I'll never give them a chance. But Benny found that formula and it worked for the team. And the team, what I like also is the players responded.
Yeah.
And what happened with Benny is he immediately, those players responded, he moved on with the players that responded. Those ones that didn't respond, life continued. Because if you remember, nobody even speaks about Bongi Ntuli anymore. He was the star player that was scoring 14, 13 goals. And sure, then when AmaZulu only scored 16.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at the same team this time around, different coaches, different mentality, set of new players, new management, new goals, boom, CAF Champions League.
Unbelievable.
Just hope that with what AmaZulu has done, a lot of small teams will actually learn that you don't have to have big money to play CAF. You just need to have big ambitions.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. And also, I think Safa can take a page out of AmaZulu's book in terms of employing ex-players to do the job, because we've spoken about this at length. And AmaZulu have proven that this actually works. So, big up.
And Sean, when you speak about ex-players, we're not talking about players that retired 60 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're not saying... We're saying, yeah, guys, employ ex-players. Then you retire somebody that the last game that he played was 1997 after they won AFCON.
100%. No, good point. Good point. These are recent players who still have a big emotional attachment to the game and who've probably played with the guys that are in the squad. So I think there is something in this that we need to look at properly. And don't be surprised if we see other teams follow suit.
Yes, I won't be surprised at all. I think what AmaZulu has done, it's a new trend. I think what Sundowns has done as well with the coaches, it's going to be a new trend that's going to follow. And you look at Swallows as well. They employed I think Dladla or somebody from Richards Bay,
that
good coach that comes into being. So it's going to be a new trend where they're going to have probably two or three people on the bench that are equally good coaches, but we've got one head coach. I think it's going in the football now. Let's go in there.
I agree. And then Pirates versus Verrocca last night. Great result for Pirates. That could have gone either way, in my opinion. Verrocca being, I wouldn't say hot and cold, but certainly one of their better seasons we've seen them play. But a well-needed 3 points for Pirates, Teko.
And whenever Pirates play, especially against the Limpopo side, they're always scary, because Pirates tend to be on point, and then once they face those type of teams, and then they manage to get that confidence and be able to beat Orlando Pirates. Mm. Great results for them. But with but the quality, one would thought that Orlando Pirates will be in a better position this time around. And I also felt like this season was their season. Mm. This season would be the season that they actually come in and show off because of how they spend. Because Orlando Pirates normally don't spend on such high quality at a go, and they did this season. But look, man, Orlando Pirates are probably, this is just my opinion, because I think so highly of them. I think they'll look at this season, they'll look at themselves, and they'll look at this as a failure, even though they did win the MTN 8, but they'll look at this season as a failure, because I don't believe that Mamelodi Sundowns won the league with the gear 5 or gear 6. Mm-hmm. I think they were still in gear 2 the whole season. Mm-hmm. They were never pushed to go to gear 3 or whatsoever. So, and I think the only team that could, because Kaizer Chiefs had his own struggles, SuperSport have their own ambition. I think the only team that has supposed to have those ambitions, it was Orlando Pirates. And it's just that for me, it hurts that, you know, the players couldn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's frightening to think that you think that Sundowns were only in second gear the whole season. That's just, that's scary. But a lot of horrible rumors about Jay-Z possibly leaving as well. So let's see. But moving on to Chiefs and Arrows, hell of a game. Manyama with a hat-trick. Only the third hat-trick. I think this is the game that you did, Rantega. Only the third hat-trick of the whole season. It's crazy to think that. And again, we look at the bench now. So you've got X players on the bench. And you've seen how they all got together at the end of the game, hugging and going crazy. And that's what you like to see. And I don't think that had that sort of freedom with Gavin, if you know what I mean. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying when Gavin left, they won because of that. I mean, absolutely not. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, it like the AmaZulu bench, where it's just like, yes, f*** it, we won, come on.
Yeah.
And Chiefs, you had that feel. And I think if, for example, a Stuart Baxter had to come in, they would be allowed to express themselves in that manner. Talk us through the game. I mean, it was a end-to-end stuff. Could have gone either way. Happy for Chiefs. Manyama again with a great hat-trick. Great finish for the third goal. Nice to see Katsanda do well as well. So what's your opinion on the game, Tex?
Shonisto. Shoninho.
I'll take it.
You look at Kaizer Chiefs' behavior before the game. When they walked in, After the moment of silence, they all went out, and with the reserves and the technical team, they all hugged it out, and a little bit of a prayer before they went in. They when the game was on, all I could see was, you know, even after the first mistake that I think Barkers had, that day that Vuma saved, you know, anything that I could see where any coach would react, they were just encouraging each other.
Yes.
There was a lot of encouragement, a lot of clapping hands, a lot of, you know, positive message being put out there. And with that, it was very, very new. I haven't seen that in 2-3 years for Kaizer Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But also it came back to me that, Atazwane knows, he has the identity, he has the DNA of this club.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to win things in this club. He knows what it takes for a player to succeed in this club, and he probably had a different just a different conversation. And you see the players that didn't do well under Coach Gavin Hunt that came on and did well. Katsande was never used.
Mm-hmm.
Came in yesterday, he became a Cataldino, you know, going through players, creating goal scoring opportunity.
Cataldino.
I've never seen Katsande take on anybody in. Yeah, and 13 years that he played, I've never seen him taking anybody. But yesterday he did, and
given that freedom.
Yeah, you look at Lebo Manyama, you know, playing with such freedom in that number 10 pocket position where he was dangerous last season, and you look at him scoring all those goals inside the box. The younger ones that are coming in, Blom, Ngoma coming in and changing the game positively. Look, man, I'm not saying Kaizer Chiefs has changed the fortunes around, but I'm just saying the message that they have. It's great. And also just to whisper, there's a guy that is a close friend of mine. It's one of the security guys. Mm. We like talking to each other. One thing that he said to me that made me excited to look forward to the game. He said, look, players that were attached to the coach are hurt that he's gone. But most senior guys that were not used, most guys that they felt some type of way with the coach, they want to prove that they want to win. So today, guaranteed, we're going to win. This is way before even the team bus arrived. This is way before he said, no, today we are going to win, because most of the guys wants to prove that we want to win. And those are senior guys. And I was like, okay, let's see. And yes, one of the senior guys was, you remember he was Roy Boss one of the seasons, one of the games in the season.
Yes.
At T-Bag, he was brought in and brought out.
Yes.
And this is the guy that scored three. T-Bag. Not that he's a bad player. He's never been a bad player, but he played. Yeah, he was a T-Bag. Cause look, man, I love Gavin. I can speak to Gavin Hunt football the whole day.
Of course.
But there's a lot of players that he played out of position. That couldn't, you know, he couldn't bring out the best in so many players. And I think that's one of the difficulties that he had.
So, I mean, imagine being Kaizer Chiefs now. You've got these older players, let's put it that way, your Manyamas who are out of contract, your Katsandas who's out of contract, and these guys are put in a performance like that. Now, all of a sudden, everything starts changing, right? The conversation starts changing. Do you keep these guys in? Because now you're rebuilding around possibly a younger squad, but you need the senior players in the change room. It's very interesting times with Chiefs. I'm so happy they won yesterday.
Yes, Sean. Me too, man. And I don't want to see Katsanda playing for another team. I don't want to see Lebo playing for another team. Mm. And I think as footballers, you want to come back. You know, when you had a bad season, you want to come back and rectify them with the same team that you're playing for. You don't want to run away from those type of things. And I think also if you want to rebuild, you can't just, you need senior players. I think it's, Kaizer Chiefs is one of the teams that I know for a fact that, you know, senior players all these years have played a bigger role. And I think I've never been at Kaizer Chiefs Village, but I strongly believe that there's two changing rooms where there's senior players changing rooms and the younger boys. So there's always been a culture where the separation between senior guys and the younger ones. So you need to still have that senior players type of vibe and the younger ones type of vibe so that they can understand and learn what it takes to be in the type of a dressing room where the senior players are. So I think with the Katsandes and the Lebo Manyamas while they're there, and I think, you know, they still play a big part in that, but I don't think all the senior guys need to still be there. I really, really, really don't believe that. The senior guys, other senior guys that needs to bounce, and Chipper United is waiting for.
And from there, we jump into this week in football history.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week in 1978, Tunisia became the first African country to win a match in a World Cup final series when they beat Mexico 3-1. This week in 1998, the FIFA World Cup began in France, which did feature Bafana. The reason I bring this one up is because this World Cup was the longest FIFA World Cup ever. It was 32 days long. And just as a Manchester United fan to make myself feel better and put Chelsea in their place, 13 years ago in 2008, John Terry slipped when taking the penalty that could have won Chelsea the UEFA Champions League. That was a peak in our club's history, I think.
But let's move on to what is happening at the NFD terms of the championship.
What's happening, Wayne?
Oh, man. Royal AM finished top of the GLAAD Africa Championship when the campaign was wrapped up nearly a fortnight ago. However, the KwaZulu-Natal outfit didn't receive the trophy owing to arbitrator Hilton Epstein's decision to award second place Sekhukhune 3 points after January the 2nd opponents Polokwane were found guilty of contravening the under-23 rule. So if you've seen what's happening now in the press, both teams have thought they've won the league. One of the teams have actually sent their players home because they fully believe they've won
both the league. Both of them, Sean.
Is it both?
Mm.
Oh, man. It's unbelievable. The problem comes in now is if... you know, not knowing where they will be next season means that both these teams may find it hard to sign players. And that's the difficult part now, which means you sort of panic buy. We've seen teams do that in the past where they panic buy and they usually buy a load of shit and they end back in the NFD. And that's the problem. So I do feel for both these teams. It's obviously out of their control, but it really frustrates me how this hasn't been sorted out. This was done on the 2nd of January, right? This is 6 months ago, and now they're only going to court in terms of what's happening. It's just, it's mind-boggling. You don't get these stories overseas, I don't think. It's only in our beautiful country. But Teko, I don't know what your opinion on this is, but it grates me, man. Yeah, it's crazy. If there's 3 points to be awarded, there's 3 points to be awarded. If there's not, there's not. I mean, why go to court?
We are a unique country, comrade. When the world is going this direction, we're taking the other direction. That's how we are.
Especially in football.
Yeah, no, it's worse there. Look, Shawnee, you tend to worry as to... You tend to actually look for a reason why it was left. The issue was not dealt with earlier on at the time. Because at the time, I think when the protest was in, both teams now, Royal AM and Skukuni, I think one was on 7th place, one was on 12th.
Right.
At the time of the protest was done in January. So therefore, if they could have dealt with that then, it wasn't affecting any of the two.
Correct.
Teams, right? And then... So now they let it be. And then now... You look at the team going to their final game of the season. You look at the lock. The lock still was the same. It was never changed. Therefore, Royal AM going into the game, they know that a victory or a draw, we win. We qualified. We're going straight to the PSL because the lock hasn't been changed and the PSL is ruling against its own rule. And then now Skukuni thinks that if we don't lose, as long as we don't lose, we are fine because 3 points are going to be awarded to us. You know, so now these are two teams going into the last game knowing for a fact that whatever happens, if they win, they qualify. So now that's the message that the players have, the misunderstanding that happened there. They let it be. They said, no, continue with the games and then we'll sort it out later on. Mm. By doing that, it's just, just sweeping under the rug and hoping that, just disappear. If Skukuni lost in the last game, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be discussing this.
Correct.
Because now Royal AM would have qualified. You know, that's why they said, no, go and continue, go play. Go play, we'll sort it out later because they hope the Skukuni lose. Or Royal AM lose, then we don't have to deal with this.
So bad.
So now both teams won. Or Royal AM drew, then Skukuni won. Now they have to deal with this. Now it's okay, Gozai, let's go back. Listen, for me is, if you remember back then when Ajax was relegated, they never gave those points to anybody.
Mm.
When Ajax was deducted points with the Nyandoro story, they never gave those points to anybody.
That's bizarre.
They just said, okay, Ajax, we're taking such and such in points because you played a player that is not supposed to be playing. Whenever he played and the game that you won or point, we're taking those points. That's how Ajax Cape Town got relegated. And with now, with the same issue, because I've never been I've never seen a situation in South Africa where we're taking Sean's points and giving them to Aiden as team and say no, because we played it, you know? So for me is, if they're going back to those type of rule that made Ajax to be relegated, then Skukuni is not going to get those points either way. So which means Royal AM is coming into the league and that lady will come in with a chopper, and you know how the PSL is going to be nice. That's going to be Rolls Royce, and you know they're going to up the game, my friend.
Yes.
But also, Skukuni feels like by the law, by the PSL book, they do. And you must understand that every team needs to be abided by this PSL book.
Sure.
So how does the PSL go against their own ruling? And why is Polokwane City taking also this thing to court? How are they benefiting from that? Because either way, whether they're giving it to Skukuni or Royal AM, Polokwane City's got nothing. They've got nothing to do with this.
Yeah, exactly.
No, man. They just and look, Sean. Even if they do have that decision, whether tomorrow or today, the problem is getting. It's going to be the same that happened to Kaizer Chiefs. Emotionally, players won't be able to come back from that. Because now here you celebrate it. Now in your mind, you're from Glad Africa. You start planning your PSL debut, you start planning on things that you need to improve with the salary. You've seen that. Because you worked so hard to get that. Now you've seen it. Now you come back and they say, you guys, no, you need to go to play for the playoffs. The chances are they might not come back from that. And now you as a team, you've given those players time to relax, to drink, go party. Now you must come back and prepare for playoffs. And with the playoffs, you don't even know who you're playing against. You're playing against the experienced side, your cheaper, your what that have the momentum. You guys have 2 weeks, 3 weeks out. So I think, and also the delay in the playoffs, then there's Euros, and then the league starts in August. Guys, this is, and look, Sean, if you can't even manage 16 teams, they can't even say rectify the mistakes. Like, okay, guys, we made a mistake. Those two teams, let them come to the PSL, and then we'll sort it out next year. From next season, we have 18 teams. We can't even function properly when Telkom Cup is not there with 16 teams. Still, the fixtures congested.
Unbelievable.
So in the PSL, we need to stop acting. There's a lot of people that are in the acting position, acting CEO. No, they must have people that are permanent positions that are able to take those decisions at the right time.
Yes, sir.
When things happen, when there's a DC matter that needs to be solved, that thing needs to be taken care of at that time, because there's people that are in those positions to do that. But once you are in acting, when you have a team to take care of, it becomes a problem.
Yes, sir.
I think we need to have independent people that are being in those type of positions where they can deal with this issue. Because now you are a team owner and you're in that position. And what happens if your team is the one that is being, you know, accused? How are you dealing with that? So if you have neutral people there,
take over president,
dude. I wanna be in those PSL boards.
Damn.
I play the game.
I'll make a call.
What is it that I need to qualify?
I'll make a call.
I'll go there and do those studies. Seriously, I want to be in that PSL board. There's a lot of things that are not football related that happens there.
Okay.
I'm a football person. I want to be a football. If the rule says, my friend, when you walk into my house, there's no shoes, my friend. Why are you putting shoes on and expect me to tell, no, they're soft shoes, they're boat shoes? No, they said there's no shoes when you walk in. No, Sean, it's exhausting because they...
Thank you, Teko.
Thank you, sir.
Check, it's been what you've been saying for the longest time. Get football people in football places.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking of football, we have some games to predict. Place your bets, gentlemen. Kaizer Chiefs versus TS Galaxy.
Yippee!
Kaizer Chiefs, convincing win.
Ooh. Hey, Sean Listo, we forget that you're a Kaizer Chiefs diehard. look, it's a must win for Kaizer Chiefs to be in the top 8. And with the spirit right now, I think it's a Kaizer Chiefs victory. I just want to see them in the top 8, so I give it to them. Kaizer Chiefs victory. Yeah.
Okay. And Sundowns versus Cape Town City.
A 2-2 draw.
Yeah, as Sean said, I must listen to him. so it's going to be a beautiful draw.
A beautiful draw.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Look, but also the fear as well is Cape Town City are not safe. Eh? They are not safe, mate. In the top 8, depending on how other teams, you know, how the teams like a TS Galaxy and Kaizer Chiefs, depending on how they're doing. If Cape Town City don't win, they're not guaranteed.
Are you so sure? I thought they cemented their top 8 status last night or the night before. I could be wrong.
Sorry. No, you are correct. You're correct.
I'm usually right.
They're safe. Yes, you're usually right. No, they are safe with the victory yesterday. No, it's just that I looked at the fixture yesterday and the log position. No, they are right. They are safe now. So that's what I'm saying. It's gonna be a beautiful draw. but also Sundowns also wants to be crowned and been given those trophies.
Surely Sundowns want to finish off on a high note.
Yeah, they want to finish on a high note. So, and Shalulile has a record too. So it's gonna be very interesting for me. I'm on the fence on this one. Let me pull out.
And Shalulile is still in the running for the Golden Boot. I think first is probably with 14.
Shalulile with 12.
Shalulile is like third. Yeah. Second or third.
Khula scored a brace last night, didn't he?
Oh, well, there we go. Now he's on 16.
Yeah, and Shalulile scored a brace last night.
Okay, so 16-13. Love it. I didn't get a chance to watch those games, okay?
I can just see you say that, you know. Okay, 13-14. Love it.
Nah, I saw it yesterday. Like yesterday morning, I think it was. With Khula first with 14 and then Shalulile third with 11.
Okay. So
if they both scored a brace, well... There we go.
Beautiful.
And lastly, Stellies versus Golden Arrows, guys.
Quick one. Stellenbosch have to win. I'm going with Stellenbosch.
Easy. Take it.
Yeah. Stellenbosch have to win. We love Stellies.
We do love Stellies, but the thing is, from where I am right now, it's quite a far drive.
You're like, that joke.
It's so good.
Can see it coming.
Speaking of a drive, Sean, yes, car of the week, please.
This week we feature Augustin Malenga's Mercedes A200. The A200 is a more compact model from the automaker. However, it maintains its luxury as far as features are concerned. It has some real wow factor with the connectivity, which to some people is a greater priority than any of that handling palaver. If you look at the way most people drive, the A-Class probably does what will make them happy when it rivals catch up in terms of screen acreage, though it could be in serious trouble. Depending on which model customers choose, the Mercedes A200 is priced around the 600,000 mark and upwards. I give it an 8.5 out of 10.
I quite like Mercedes.
Yeah, good car.
I'm not going to lie.
Good car.
They're great. And Teko Modise, I believe it is time for the motivational quote of the week.
Look, my friend, let me go straight to it. Stop waiting for your life to meet your expectations and start adjusting your expectation to meet your life. With that said, you know, you look at all the situations, especially with teams, you know, when and the fans' expectations towards the teams and the coaches' expectations towards those type of players. And I think it sums up the season very nicely for certain teams. And that's one of the coaches in that is doing very well at Barroca, Vincent Kobuda. So that's the motivation of the week.
I really enjoyed that one. Nice. That was
ex-player. That
was brilliant. And that is how we wrap up episode 76 of The Car Wash. Whether you have been listening in on SokolaDumaPodcast.co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcast, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM Game Time, thank you so much for tuning in. I've been your host, Aiden. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you, Eddie.
And that has been the general himself, Mr. Teko Modise.
Hey.
Hey.
Aiden, hey, wait, number 10.
Exactly. And we will see you all same time, same place next week.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Flangana call.